You know, I just totally blew that one. I thought I got rid of that. That's not the intro anymore. It's not. Here's the new intro.
I'm not the one who's so far away when I feel the snake bite and tear my veins. Never did I wanna be here again. And I don't remember why I came.
And you are tuned in to Midwest Paratalk Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Here are your hosts, Mike, Joni, and Greg.
Now, see, wasn't that much better?
Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you. What's going on with that? Oh, wait, hold on a second.
First thing I say every showdown. Can you hear me?
No, I can't hear you. Who's this?
Oh, duh.
What?
It is your co-host.
Who? Pull my finger. Now, we want to welcome everybody to Midwest Paratalk Radio. You got Greg, Joni, and Mike here with you hanging out on another Thursday evening. And snow-packed and cold-filled, and any way you want to cut it, I'm ready to move to, like, the equator and put on a loincloth and hang out with pygmies.
I want to see that.
Nobody wants to see that, Joni.
I would pay to see that.
Nobody wants to see that. Trust me.
And you can't wear shoes either, or socks.
Okay, well, now that's definitely a no-go then.
Yeah, the feet got to be bare. That's going to stop you right there.
Hell no. What do you say, Mike? What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Good. You sound like you got a cold.
Oh, you got a cold, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
You know what?
No, I have the death.
You work at a hospital, a big hospital.
I know.
Why don't you get a doctor?
I am a doctor.
That's why he's sick.
I have a doctor, and he said, you have a cold.
That's right.
And no, have you heard of a neti pot?
A what?
A neti pot.
Is that
a neti pot?
Is that dirty?
No. It's not dirty. It's gross.
Sounds like something they use in a nursing home. I don't know. What is it?
It is a little, like, it looks like a teapot, and you mix saline and water together.
Okay.
You pour it up your nose.
Okay.
Okay.
You tilt your head and pour it up your nose.
Oh,
well, that's supposed to be good for you.
Yeah.
Either that or, you know, drowned you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, you don't want to. You don't want to use a funnel.
Well, you stick it up your nose and you tilt your head and you pour it up one nostril and it comes out the other.
Oh, hell no!
And let me tell you,
dude, Afrin,
disgusting thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Afrin, nose spray. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, I like nose spray. I agree.
Oh, my gosh, you know?
So I neti-potted before I went on air tonight, so.
Neti-potted. Man, that's crazy,
neti-potted.
Dude.
Neti-potted. Okay.
That is so messed up on so many levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Christopher knows about them.
Three weeks of no school? Seriously?
Yeah, really.
Well, 2 weeks this time. After Christmas vacation, they were off another week. Because of weather. So it's been 3 weeks since the beginning of the year.
So you're wishing they would go year-round, so when it comes summertime, you just send them to school.
I don't know, because I don't know what we're going to do. They're having a meeting tonight, so.
Oh, really?
They're talking about Saturday school and lengthening the days.
You and Logan and Barnes will both have 9 days to make up.
Wow.
We do?
Yeah. And that's but you guys started early, so I don't know. You and Liverpool.
Yeah, we do start early. We started real early with the point of getting out early, but we were supposed to get out May 20th. So I don't care if it goes till we can only go to like June 9th,
right?
According to state law. So
that is just so messed up.
Well, yeah. It's supposed to snow again Monday. We're supposed to get hit again Monday. So I don't know.
I remember when I was in school, it could have been snow right up to your bunghole, and guess what? You were going. You know what I'm saying? If they had to get out the dog sleds and the big Santa sleigh, your ass was going to school.
The bunghole.
Well, they put chains on the buses then. They don't do that anymore.
No, they don't. They don't.
See, down here they have automatic chains.
Oh, down there do they?
Yeah, seriously.
I wonder why we don't have stuff like that.
They drop down on the bottom of the bus, and the bus runs on the chains.
Really?
Huh.
Yeah, I've never seen it until I was like, there's something hanging
on
the bottom of that bus, and...
You know,
John Marshall District, isn't it?
Yeah, they just need to...
They're pretty cool.
I don't know. They just need to homeschool everybody and just call it a day. Send the teachers to us for once. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, enough of the school talk. What do we got going on Midwest Prayer Talk Radio tonight?
Tonight, we have Audrey Hewins of Starborn Support, and we have a kind of long history.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. And I tell you what, let's go ahead and get into the haunted history. Well, let's do a couple commercials first. Right after the White Crow commercial, we'll go into haunted history and get Audrey on the phone with us. And
you guys bear with me because I got a sore throat. So.
Oh, my. Ricola.
Where's my daddy bot? I want my daddy bot.
Right. All right, you guys are hanging out with us here at Midwest Paratalk Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. We're going to go to a couple commercials, come back and get Audrey on the line with us after the haunted history. So you guys stick around. We got plenty coming your way here on Midwest Paratalk Radio.
Hey, this is the crew from Banshees in the G-Spot on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Have you ever wondered who works behind the scenes on a cold case? Would you like to see cold cases done before a live studio audience? Loved ones who have passed on speak from the spiritual realm, giving the answers needed. The Psychic Justice Tour with Robbie Thomas will do just that. This venue is like nothing you've seen before. Given police endorsements throughout North America, Robbie brings his unique ability to get the correct information to police and families to help solve crimes.
Here's what some have to say about the Psychic Justice Tour. Phantom Magazine, Robbie Thomas can be best described with a few simple words, intense and extremely accurate. Don't miss out on the Psychic Justice Tour. Ghost Radio Network, emotional, inspiring, and provocative to see Robbie in action. There's a true angel among us. Visions Magazine, there's only one Robbie Thomas. This is a rare opportunity you simply do not want to miss.
Check out Robbie Thomas at www.robbiethomas.net and don't miss out on the Psychic Justice Tour.
A new way to bring the paranormal community together.
Sharing everyone's ideas and sharing ideas with everyone.
Creating a newsletter with submissions
from all around the world.
Members of all paranormal fields.
Just like you and me.
Whether you're into ghosts and hauntings
or an observer of UFO phenomenon,
The White Crow is for you.
The first paranormal newsletter
for everyone.
Written by everyone.
If you have something to share
or just want to see what's going on,
come join us in this combined effort.
The White Crow.
The paranormal newsletter
for everyone.
Written by everyone.
Visit us on MySpace at www.myspace.com/thewhitecrowforeveryone.
If you're interested in being part of the mailing list or just to download the newsletter for free, visit us online at www.thewhitecrow.org.
The White Crow, the first paranormal newsletter for everyone, created by everyone.
All right, you guys, welcome back to Midwest Paratalk Radio.
What are you laughing at?
I don't want to know.
No, you guys really don't want to know because it is its way entirely to, yeah.
So, is it Kibby?
Huh?
Is it Kibby?
Part. Partly.
Gee, I just guessed.
Okay. I know, right? Are you psychotic? I mean, psychic?
You got your right first time.
I know, right?
A. What? Okay,
choice,
what?
Choice A. Choice A.
Yeah,
I cannot believe it.
Yeah, we took like 7 takes just on that Robbie Thomas cut over the weekend. And there's a running joke now because at one point it was Tajore instead of Tour. And I don't know, it was just one of those things, you had to be there, but it was funny. So,
oh, okay.
That being said, we have the haunted history coming up here in Midwest Paratalk Radio. And what is that about this week, Joni?
The Tower of London.
Nice.
Actually.
Right on. So let's jump right into that and put that out for everybody to listen to. And then get Audrey on, I am going to, right now.
Oh, right. All right, fellas. A massive complex of ragstone and Caen stone sits on the north bank of the River Thames. It is separated from the City of London by Tower Hill, Her Majesty's Royal Palace and Fortress, or as it is more commonly known as the Tower of London. The complex of several buildings, walls, and moats is generally identified by the original White Tower, built by Norman King William the Conqueror in 1078. Its primary function was a palace, fortress, and prison, but it has also been used as an armory, treasury, the royal mint, and a place of torture and execution. Since 1303, it has been home to the crown jewels of the United Kingdom. At least six ravens are kept at the tower at all times. It is believed if they are absent, the kingdom will fall. Many prisoners have been confined at the tower. Several were powerful and well-known. The first was the Bishop of Durham in 1100 for extortion, and the last were Ronald and Reginald Cray, a set of twins who were organized crime lords in 1952 for failing to report for national service. In between, there were Scottish kings and chieftains, French royalty, English royalty, and consorts, Irish noblemen, and even Rudolf Hess, deputy leader of the Nazi Party in 1941. Sir Walter Raleigh was imprisoned 13 years with his wife and children. He grew tobacco and wrote the history of the world while there. His ghost is now said to haunt near the cell where he was located, and most think he is a residual haunting. Hauntings from royalty abound at the Bloody Tower. In the Wakefield Tower, the sad wraith of Henry VI paces about on the anniversary of his murder, May 21, 1471. He was stabbed while kneeling in prayer, probably by the infamous Richard III, Duke of Gloucester, around midnight. After the clock strikes 12, he recedes into the wall to wait another year to pace. Also victims of Richard III were his nephews, 12-year-old Edward V and younger brother Richard. After the sudden death of Edward IV, the boys were brought to the tower to supposedly await coronation, but they vanished around June 1483 and were never seen again. When two skeletons were exhumed under a White Tower staircase, they were presumed to be the princes. Two whimpering children in white gowns clutching each other are frequently seen in the dimly lit rooms of their imprisonment. If approached, they fade away. In 1957, around 3 a.m., a guard noticed something very strange. Something was dropping the top of his guardhouse. Stepping outside, he saw a shapeless white figure standing on it. It was the same date Lady Jane Grey was beheaded on February 12, 1554. After ruling as queen for a little over a week, until she was removed, charged with treason, and executed by her cousin, Queen Mary. There are also two anonymous ghosts, simply called the White Lady and the Grey Lady. The Grey Lady is known to have a black void where her face should be, and the White Lady exudes the aroma of perfume around the entrance of St. John's Chapel. Thomas Becket, Guy Fawkes, Anne Boleyn, Catherine Howard, and the Countess of Salisbury, 72-year-old Margaret Pole, executed by her son, Henry VIII, as a petty act of vengeance. When she was brought to the block for beheading, she refused to kneel. The executioner then chased the screaming countess around the scaffold, literally hacking her to death. The shameful spectacle has been reported several times on the anniversary of her death with a screaming phantom. The most well-known ghost of the Tower of London is probably Anne Boleyn. In 1525, Henry VIII, who was married to Catherine of Aragon at the time, began to pursue the younger Anne. Refusing to become a mistress, Henry tried for annulment, but the Pope refused him. This incident began the breaking of the Roman Catholic Church in England. Henry and Anne were married on January 25, 1533, and Anne was crowned queen on June the 1st. In September, she gave birth to the future Queen Elizabeth I. Following three miscarriages and failure to produce a male heir, in March 1536, Henry began to court Jane Seymour. In May, Henry had Anne tried for high treason, incest, witchcraft, and adultery. Historians find these charges very unconvincing, as it was a plot perpetrated by Thomas Cromwell. They also say that her impending death at times caused her sorrow, but she seemed to hope it would send her an end to her suffering. Her head was removed with one quick stroke on May 19, 1536. Her ghost has been noted at more than one location, but the Tower of London sighting was documented in Hans Holzer's book, Ghosts I've Met. In 1864, a major general, J.D. Dundas, in his quarters, looked out the window and saw a guard in front of Anne Boleyn's old lodgings, acting very strangely. He was charging through a whitish female figure sliding towards him. He charged the form a couple of times, passing his bayonet through it, then he fainted. At Blickling Hall, Anne walks the corridors until dawn on the anniversary of her death. At Christmas time, she is seen at Hever Castles Avenue as well as Rockford Hall, where she lived as a girl. The Rockford district of Essex is haunted for 12 nights by a headless witch dressed in a silk gown. She has also been seen standing at the window in Windsor Castle, but she is most active at the tower. She was buried in the church inside the tower itself and is said to haunt it, along with a procession of people in Elizabethan garb that will all suddenly vanish after a ghostly ritual in the aisle. In 1817, a sentry had a heart attack after meeting her on a stairway, and in 1933, her ghost walked straight through the bayonet of another guard, after which he ran screaming for help. Her headless body has been seen walking near her execution site and in the tower itself, carrying her head tucked underneath her arm. Today, the Tower of London is cared for by an independent charity called Historic Royal Palaces, which receives no funding from the government or the Crown. Until next week, this was a historic haunting.
All right. Walking with her head under her arm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, this stuff's all been written down for years. I mean,
right,
wow.
Right. Well, you know, you said Hans Holzer went there and, you know.
Yeah, he must have went back through the paperwork and read all the statements and stuff, and he put it mm-hmm. in his book. So that's, you know, when he puts something in a book, it's probably been pretty well researched.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, Hans was too cool, definitely, without a doubt. So, mm-hmm. all right, you guys. That was a historic haunting here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Great job, Joni. And I'll tell you what, we're going to get Audrey on the phone with us right now and start talking some UFOs. What do you say?
Okie dokie.
Hey, one ringy dingy.
Right, Lily Tomlin.
Right, right. You know, it's sad that the younger listeners are like, who's that?
Yeah, I know.
We just have to remind them.
Right.
Hello.
Hello, Audrey.
Hi, Audrey.
Hi, Audrey.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good.
I'm doing well.
You're live on Midwest Paratalk Radio. We want to welcome you to the show.
Well, hi. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Definitely. Because, you know, I love to hear your story. I've heard it a couple times before. But for our listeners out there right now that you know, are like, well, who's Audrey? Why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your story and... We'll go
okay, my name is Audrey. I am the founder of the group Starborn Support. I started the group in November of 2006. What we do is we both investigate and give the proper help to alien abductees or, you know, someone who simply had a sighting. We do a lot of support groups where abductees can meet each other and, you know, we can, you know, talk about things and just lend each other support. I mean, it's really necessary with this phenomenon. It can be very traumatic, and there's not really a lot of help out there for people to turn to. So I started the group, like I said, in 2006. One of those things where I had been working with many people regarding my own case for years. And, you know, we worked with the people from MUFON, Bud Hopkins, Matt Moniz, and that's just to name a few. So at the last regression session that I had done with Joseph Nyman from MUFON, he suggested, you know, that I was ready, and a few others said, I was about ready after, you know, 15 years or whatever it was of, you know, grueling therapy and hypnosis and just coming to terms with it. So I finally decided that, yeah, I was ready. And at first I said no. I told them I'd know when I was ready, and I did. You know, I woke up one morning and I had an encounter, which I'm an abductee all my life since. Mm-hmm. I was a little girl, since I can remember. And they pretty much told me the same thing, that I was ready, and even told me to call it Starborn Support. So I woke up the next day when I got up and started the group.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. It's been fantastic. I mean, we've got people from all over the world who come to us for help. And, you know, then we've got the locals that we work with, you know, one-on-one and face-to-face, where, you know, we really get some good results with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard you too, Audrey. I know there's some people that probably haven't heard your story. Do you want to go into that a little bit and tell our listeners and what all you endured?
Sure. Well, it started, like I said, as far back as I can remember. I have an identical twin sister, so if I say we, that's what I'm referring to. We both endured this together, which we were lucky to have each other. There's so many that are out there alone going through this with no one to understand and no one to talk to. It started, you know, back in the crib days, I can remember. I'll just give you a scenario of what used to happen. We were in bunk beds. We lived in Ohio when we were young, till we were about 10. And we'd always tell our parents that we didn't want to go to bed because the bald man was coming, and, you know, we were scared. And they, you know, pretty much shrugged it off for the longest time, and we'd go into bed, and it's strange, but we kind of always know when they're going to come visit. I know I do. It's a strange feeling that I get, and it's just, you know, pretty much got to prepare myself for what's about to happen. It starts with, you can usually hear the humming sound that is associated with abduction. I don't know if it's the ship, if it's the machine that they use to transport or what it is, but it is a steady hum, and kind of like a generator or a swarm of bees going in and out, like closer and then farther again. Then our muscles, they'll start to twitch. Wow. And it usually starts in my feet and my legs. And then it's pretty much a matter of minutes where we can only move our eyes to see. And the paralysis sets in pretty good. That's when we usually notice a bright bluish-white light that totally engulfs everything. It's the brightest light I think I've ever seen. And there's usually, you know, figures. We usually see the figures before the light. We know that there's a presence in the room. Mm-hmm. So when we were little, you know, we'd duck under the covers and think everything would be okay, but it wasn't. So after the paralysis, really, you know, you don't remember much. You remember bits and pieces the next day, and there'll be things that kind of flash in your mind. And whoever's taking us tend to implant almost screen memories, false memories, and that's something that comes with the territory. Once you come to terms with what's going on, and realize that it is visitors, not of this world, then you tend to remember more. And as you accept it more, it seems that it becomes easier and easier. I mean, it's always scary, especially certain ones that come are very scary. But, you know, there's others that are very benevolent and just pure kindness, and you almost look forward to communicating with them. But my parents would, you know, say, you know, it's just your imaginations, go back to bed. We did keep journals as children, which have since disappeared from the place my mother had hidden them and kept them safe. They're gone. A lot of that stuff happens around us too. But that's a whole nother story. But anyway, my mother, at one point, I think we were probably 9 or 10 years old, was walking through a bookstore, and she noticed Whitley Strieber's communion book, and right on the front cover, I don't know if you're familiar with the book, is a picture of the so-called gray aliens. And she picked the book up and brought it home and compared it to our journals and started thinking that maybe there's something more to this. And I guess, you know, she studied for a little while and then just kind of put it aside. It's one of those things that's, you know, almost taboo, and, you know, people just, once they start, you know, diving in deep and getting to know, you know, what happens, it scares a lot of people, mainly a mother who's, you know, not able to defend her child. So it's a tough thing for anybody to go through.
Right.
It does happen still. It has all my life, no matter where I move, you know, they're there. It's usually in a matter of weeks that they come. If I do move and relocate, they will come. It's almost like just to check up on me and get the feel of the new situation. But I've been in Maine now, and I actually own a home now, so I won't be moving anymore. But it's a pretty frequent thing. Probably last year was probably six times that I can remember vividly that they come. And there's different species, according to, you know, several sources. There's 57 logged species of beings. I don't like to use the word aliens. I mean, we can say star visitors, but some of them, you know, could quite possibly be from, you know, parallel worlds or different dimensions. So it's just, you know, not of this earth. And they all have their different energies that you can really feel, and it's so hard to explain. It's very intense, and the whole experiences are, you know, always intense. Some are more scary than others, and like I said, after, you know, I'll be 37 in March after that many years, and now that I'm finally, you know, within the last 10 years, you know, maybe even less, coming to terms with it on my own part, it gets easier. I won't say that the fear is gone, but it does tend to get easier.
Mm-hmm. So why do you think it happened?
I don't know. It seems to be a genetic thing. The more research I do, the more abductees that I interview, you know, say the same thing, that it is a genetic thing that comes, you know, down through the families. I know of one case where there's, you know, five or six generations of you know, strange phenomenon happening. Now, back, you know, before the 40s, I guess it is in the 40s when Roswell happened, it became, you know, that's when the flying saucer term was termed, and it became more of a household thing to talk about. Still taboo, and of course, you know, the government pulled their first story, and, you know, went the whole weather balloon angle, and been doing that ever since. So now it's
right. I've seen a really good, I think it was on History Channel, a really good documentary about that, and they went back, you know, and talked. There was like one man, I think, still alive. He was a kid, of course, when that happened. But they went back and pulled up old newspapers, and within, like, I think 2 or 3 days, it all came out all at once. It was, at first it was like, oh, it's a UFO. Everybody's all excited.
Yeah.
And then it turned within 2 or 3 days into, no, that's a weather balloon. But this guy was still alive that saw it as a child, and he remembers. And, you know, and they went into, they had taken this material that they found to the lab, and they're like, this matches nothing that we know of on Earth.
Well, nowadays, and this time, a lot of the people that were actually witness to Roswell, you know, they're on their deathbeds. They were sworn to secrecy, but now they're starting to talk because they don't want to take that secret with them. There's also Dr. Edgar Mitchell, who was an astronaut and walked on the moon, who's also coming forward. The UK just released some more UFO files, I think it was yesterday. I mean, the disclosure is happening slowly. The U.S., for some reason, seems to be behind. There's many other countries
I don't know what they're doing. Yeah, because I've heard, like, jet airplane, you know, just the drive, the take you across the country to California, they've seen things.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
when they're doing their jets, and they're like, we don't know what that was. And they're like, shh, you know, we'll just, you know, fill out your report and forget about it, and, you know.
Well, you know, the amount of sightings and people coming forward is just phenomenal right now. And the reasons is this: there is more activity going on, and they are, you know, making themselves known to an extent. And I think, you know, with you know, people like me and other people who are trying to spread the word, and people that just have been having these encounters all their lives are starting to, it's almost like we're being activated to do certain things, and it's strange. You know, I feel totally that I'm meant to be doing what I'm doing in Starborn Support. You know, it was almost like a divine thing where, you know, they came and told me that I'm ready. And it's strange because there's abductees that contact me. I mean, every day I'm getting new people, but several have come forth and said, you know, during their encounters, they were told by the beings that visited them to contact me, and that's happened twice already within the last month. And it's incredible to think that, you know, that these visitors are actually telling people to come to us, and it's, you know, it blows my mind sometimes, but, you know, talking to these people, it's very fascinating. And when we do have our group discussions in our meetings, it's amazing. It feels like, you know, we can meet these people for the first time, but it's almost as if, you know, we've known each other forever, and it's just a great feeling to be able to open up and discuss things that you couldn't tell the average Joe, you know, and be able to actually relate with somebody and to have somebody, you know, look me in the eye and say, you know, thank you. You don't realize how much you've helped me. That is why I do this, you know, even if it's just one person, it's very satisfying. And I think, you know, together, you know, there's strength in numbers. So, you know, the amount of abductees that are pulling together for whatever reasons is, the numbers are high, and I don't think people realize how many people experience this. And, you know, like I said, it's a taboo thing. And my personal feelings on skeptics and people who really dismiss the facts and don't bother to investigate for themselves to find the truth or talk to anybody, they're actually scared because this is happening and it is quite possible. You know, so it's not like, you know, somebody saw, you know, a leprechaun or a unicorn. I mean, this is something that, you know, is really happening, is quite possible. I mean, look at the vast universe that we have. For us to be alone is just silly to consider. It's ridiculous. And at the same time, these people believe in angels and gods, and if you think about it, that could be the answer.
Yeah, I know. You sound like me because we've had discussions with other people, and it's like, you know, we have a paranormal group, and I'm like, where do you draw the line? Okay, you can believe in that, but you don't believe in this. Now, where's that invisible line that says it's okay to believe in that, but there's no way this could happen?
Right.
You're either open-minded or you're not, and, you know,
right.
You can't be open-minded about just one or two things. Open-minded is open-minded about everything.
And all these people are, you know, a lot of the society, you know, they believe in God, and then you ask them, you know, why do you believe in God and not aliens? Have you seen God? Well, I've seen the aliens. You know, I've seen the star beings that come down that could very well be the angels that you talk about in the Bible.
I've always wondered about that. You know, I always have. Because I know there was I saw a painting, and it's a painting of the baby Jesus, you know. It's out of like the 15th century or something. But anyway, a beautiful painting, and I think it's in Italy. But it's got a thing in the background that looks like a ship, an alien ship. And that's not the only one I've seen.
Yeah, you look at a lot of the ancient drawings and cave paintings.
Hieroglyphics.
Yep, the hieroglyphics. You read the Bible, I mean, pillars of light, they always come in bright lights and fire and the angels glow with, you know, the halo, and they do. They're light beings. They come in and they really emanate the light, and they do look like the biblical angels. And so that is another, you know, and that's once they get here, which I have no doubt in my mind that they're on their way. They're coming. They're going to make themselves known. For a variety of reasons, I believe. And the first being, you know, the human race is destroying this planet. That's not going to be allowed to happen. So when they do get here, it's going to completely rewrite history. It's going to change. I mean, religion's going to be shattered, but it will also answer all of mankind's questions that we've been dwelling in for centuries, thousands of years since we've been in existence. So, you know, the answer to the God, the answer to so many things is simple. Even our own creation could possibly, you know, stem from them. I mean, we're cloning people right now.
Yeah.
I mean, why couldn't they have made a race and found a planet and inhabited it with us? I mean, it's quite possible.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many possibilities.
So when someone contacts you, have you ever ran into a person who's maybe not so willing to discuss what happened to them?
Yes, that happens a lot. But usually, you know, the first introduction, you know, is always, you know, we like to give a questionnaire just to get an idea of what they've been through, and we ask them to fill it out as honestly as they can and as they feel comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
That usually helps to break the ice, and I like to compare, you know, things that have happened to me, and once they realize that they're not crazy and that there's people talking about it too, they open up usually to me in ways that they've never opened up to anybody before. So once that trust, you know, barrier is broken and is, you know, they can, you know, come in and let me know them, their true selves. And I'm, you know, I've got, you know, other gifts as well, clairvoyance, and it kind of comes with the territory of an abductee. So it's, you know, I have a good sense of who is in trouble, who's hurting, or who's, you know, completely making this up. You know, we do get several of those, but not too many. Usually it's really down-to-earth people that are, you know, sincerely looking for our help.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a question, Audrey, from chat room. I'm just going to read it the way he wrote it, because probably he just waited to read it. He saw a show, I guess just today, and he says, there is a theory among people in regards to UFO investigating who think that the government and everyday people have no evidence of alien contact, and that it's the UFO investigators who are the ones facilitating that there is real evidence, wait a minute, it moved, that doesn't exist, basically.
Well, there's evidence everywhere. The facts are that it's just been suppressed for so long. I mean, if you go outside at any given moment and just lay down and stare at a really nice clear sky, you know, chances are there's going to be something up there, especially nowadays. Now, the evidence, of course, that, you know, is really legit, like, say, the Roswell evidence that's locked away, their mission is to discredit people like me and UFO investigators and abductees and keep it out of the mainstream because of the simple fact that the mainstream is going to panic. Now, if you take, for instance, the War of the Worlds from H.G. Wells back in the 30s, when it was just radio show, right? There was mass hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just a little sample of what could happen. People are people, and that's, you know, they tend to be very panicky, and they tend to fear things that they don't understand.
Right.
So
go ahead. Sorry.
Humanity safety, they take all evidence and keep it hush-hush, and, you know, it's always a weather balloon or swamp gas or something. But now that, you know, all these, you know, really whistleblowers from Roswell and astronauts and people, you know, just by word of mouth, if this was a courtroom, I think the witness testimony would already be enough, you know, for the amount of stuff that's out there.
Right. And I think it's interesting, and you said that there's so much more that being reported right now, and things are starting to come out, and then all of a sudden we have this theory that everybody's just a big liar. that makes sense to me in a weird way.
Yeah, and it's funny,
they're lying. I mean, we're down to that, aren't we? That we have to just, you know, they're liars.
Well, Yeah, well, the UK, I mean, they, like I said, they just released a whole bunch of new stuff. So, I mean, all you got to do is it's available for public viewing.
They seem to be a lot more, you know, open about that than we are.
Yeah, them, Mexico, France, Uruguay,
South
Brazil,
America, yeah.
Yeah, everybody is kind of, you know, leaking it as much as they can gradually, except for the U.S. And that, I don't know. I mean, the government is probably concerned that, first of all, they obviously can't defend their airspace. So, you know, they're feeling a little bit shot down in the ego. And second of all, they've been lying to us for at least 60 years about the truth. So, you know, there's, of course, going to be a lot of pissed off people. And I really can see both sides of why they would hide it because of the panic and hysteria. But I really think that the human race can handle it if it's put out the right way. You know, if they just say, look,
yeah,
we're
because,
not alone.
Yeah, because, I mean, it doesn't sound to me like what you're talking about, that they're going to come down here with laser guns and you know, evaporators or something, you know. That's
I do believe that there's two sides. There's a good and a bad. And I've experienced both. So, you know, they probably are justified at, you know, there very well could be a war going on right now that we don't even know about. You know, I mean, how would we know?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I mean, if you think it partially could be just the arrogance of the, you know, American race, basically. You know, not that I don't like this country, but I just think that there's a lot of arrogance in our society due to the fact we're supposed to be the superpower, you know, nothing could touch us.
Yeah.
I think that maybe...
Yeah, and we are the supreme beings.
Right.
Yeah. Very egotistical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, like you stated before, the universe is so large, it would be complete arrogance to think that we're the only...
Exactly, and I mean, this is just
type of intelligence in this world, or in this universe.
Just one solar system. I mean, there's so many. I mean, we have no idea what's out there.
Right.
You know, we don't even know what's on our own planet. We're finding new species here every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, never mind. You know, if you go into the deep water, that's like a whole other universe right there. So, I mean, there's places on our own planet that we don't even know that there's things here that we don't even know exist. So, you know, for them to limit it to we're the strongest, we're the mightiest, and we're the smartest is just pure arrogance. I totally agree.
Right. But I heard a theory a long time ago that the actual city of Atlantis is still, you know, thriving. But it was actually an alien civilization. Now,
very possible. And there's also theories which... you know, there's some whistleblowers coming out about that. Like I said, they're all getting old. They've been threatened with their lives if they open their mouths, but now they're on their deathbeds, so they're starting to open their mouths.
Right.
There is theories that there is also many underground bases where the aliens are actually with humans. And, you know, the reverse engineering as far as technology goes. And there's a lot going on, and... You know, we just don't know the vastness of the subject. It's incredible. And I really don't know if we'll ever know the whole truth, you know, until they come down and tell us, because obviously our government's not gonna budge and not gonna, you know, make themselves look like you know, scared liars that they are.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that aliens actually are on the planet now with us? Just walking around.
Yes, I believe there is. I've met several races, and there is a very human-looking race. And there's supposedly plans that are on this Earth right now. And they could walk by you, and you wouldn't even know it. They just need contacts in their eyes, because their eyes are... When you look in their eyes, there's, like, lights in their eyes, and they're really, really pretty.
So, what are the men in black, then, do you think?
Mm-hmm. Men in black. I have a whole album of Black Ops helicopters that I've taken pictures of. Usually the next day after I have an encounter, they come and either follow me if I'm driving, or they're always, you know, hovering over my house or wherever I happen to be at the time. I was doing dishes one day, and it was after a really, you know, intense encounter that I had had. So I was a little shaken up and doing dishes, and I was talking to my mother on the phone and looking out the window, and I heard this helicopter, and I looked out my window, and it was just hovering, I mean, telephone wire, you know, distance above the ground. And I just went outside and waved at him and took a picture. I've got several pictures. I wanted to put a Starboard shirt and a rock and just whip it at him. I mean, there you go, shirt. But I did a presentation at Bay State Paranormal Center back in March, and the minute we pulled up, there was helicopters right above the building, and you know, people were freaking out about the helicopters, and I just, welcome to my world, you know. And I know several investigators who have had their all their files and work stolen. I've had somebody get shot at by, you know, the men in black.
Oh my goodness.
They didn't know who they were. They are very serious. Several times I did night watch. I think the first three times I did it, you couldn't hear the interview at all. You could hear the people breaking into the lines. You could hear their voices. It was only when I came on, it was just too funny. Todd was just, you know, we tried pre-recording, and they do strange things. If they don't want, you know, me to be heard, they do stop it. It's a terrible thing, but it doesn't seem to be happening as much. It did, however, happen last week. Jeff Belanger is writing a book, and he's putting us in the book, and he called with for a first interview, and he said that the recording, none of it came out. He said it was weird static. He said it's never happened before, and I told him, you know, to expect that. We have to meet in person. We have to meet in person. You know, just really, they do keep a close eye on what we do and people like me, definitely. Very,
okay.
Very into that.
Okay, well, I have a story. Go ahead, Mike.
Wait, one second.
I was just going to say somebody's earning a good paycheck out there.
Yeah.
So did things happen to your sister the same way? Does she get followed by the men in black? And,
Oh, yeah. Yep, and we at times, we're living probably about 20 minutes apart from each other now.
Mm-hmm.
And if we get taken and we remember, you know, seeing each other, you know, we do call and just compare, and do you remember this? Do you remember that? And it's just, it's really, that's how it's been all our lives. And what we'll do is we'll write things down and then, you know, meet up later and read each other's journals. And it's pretty fascinating to do that. And there has been several instances where I have met people who are friends of mine forever by recognizing them from being abducted together.
Wow.
Just, I mean, looking at each other, walking over to each other, and just start talking about what happened. And there's two people that's happened to me with, and it's just, it's incredible.
That's amazing.
Now
yeah.
I have a question, Audrey.
Mm-hmm.
Do either you or your sister have, or at any time, had, like, any kind of implants or anything like that that you were aware of?
Yes, actually, my sister's got some kind of a hole drilled right into her forehead. There's a little mark, and you can feel the hole when you touch it. As a child, and still to this day, I have always had blood on my pillow in the morning, bloody noses, really bad when I was young. I do remember waking at one point, being on the tables that they put you on when they're doing the medical experiments, which are not fun, and you really want to sleep through. But I do remember seeing my eye being pulled out, and I have several marks that are from that night, several scars on my eye.
Wow.
There's my mom has had several strange things in her body. I've got several abductees actually that I'm working with now where we're doing some implant analysis. handprints always, bruise-wise, on our bodies. I mean, perfect hands, and, you know, we just go to bed without them, wake up, and they're there. So,
I can't imagine.
Yeah, it's very fascinating, and it's, like I said, scary, but at the same time, it feels like it's meant to happen for some reason. So hopefully soon we'll have answers.
Yeah, I remember we were talking one time about being in a classroom.
Yes, several times I remember being in a classroom. The first time, it was obviously on a ship. I mean, they walk us through and sitting in a classroom, and I looked up, and kind of above where I was sitting was a mobile of a solar system, you know, like you'd make in school with the planet stuff. And this was a solar system that I had never seen before. And I remember talking to the teacher about it, and he had made them. He said he made two, and he had two of them. But, and there's been several other times where I've been in class, and I don't remember anything. But, you know, what we've been told is everything that we need to know is in us. So I guess at whatever time or whatever the time is right, things will start to awaken. And it does seem to be happening already. I mean, there's things that I remember from my childhood, you know, while other things are a total blank. So it's, you know, flashes of things are coming back. Definitely getting more psychic ability as far as, you know, during meditation especially. That's very important for abductees, is to meditate. Mm-hmm. And we do suggest that to all of them. And we're trying to get together for the spring several meditation sessions where we'll get a group of us together and, you know, do our meeting, but with meditation. So it's a great feeling when there's a bunch of us together. You know, it's just very, very good energy, very positive.
Well, that's good to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, do you have any books or anything that has been put out or you're putting out right now that we can have our listeners check out?
I wish I had started a book a couple of years ago, and I just kind of put it down. You know, there's just so much. I can't begin to put it into a book. So I don't have anything. I did, you know, an article for a magazine, and then there's another one coming out. And like I said, Jeff Belanger will be putting out his paranormal book, and we'll be in that. And I'm not sure when that is. I think it might be coming up pretty soon, though. He's working on it now. So
very cool.
And I do presentations at different events, and we also investigate. We investigate all things paranormal too.
Yeah.
So we do have a hauntings and ghost unit, and I do a lot of appearances at the events, the ghost hunting events and stuff, and, you know, I've done a couple of lectures here and there, and hopefully this year we'll be, you know, helping out with the Exeter UFO Fest, which is in Connecticut. So there'll be a lot of stuff going on this year. I think it's going to be a good year.
Yeah, well, we've discussed this before with other guests. Do you feel that the increase of the UFO activity has something to do with the increase of the paranormal activity that's going on right now?
Yes, I believe that everything is goes hand in hand. If you really study and you look back into the histories and the prophecies concerning 2012, and then there's, you know, Nostradamus, the Mayans. There's, you know, a set date that the planets will line up in a way that only happens once every, I think it's 36,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think what, you know, could possibly happen is the dimensions and different, you know, stargates and et cetera will be, you know, lined up in a way where we, you know, can all interact together. Now, as this happens, I believe the world's going to be, let's say, stepping up a level as far as evolution goes. And I think we're going to become something that we're supposed to be that we lost a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, we're not the beings that we were created to be. You know, there's too much pain and suffering in this world, and mm-hmm. there needs to be love and healing for the species to survive at all.
Yeah, there's too much materialism.
Yeah, and that's the universal message. Just the universal law is love, and that's all, you know. If everybody just gave a little bit more, it would be a better world to live in.
Yes, it would.
I agree.
Definitely. Well, Audrey, go ahead and put out your website so we can give it to the listeners. Have them come out and take a look at your website.
Yeah, sure. We have one in the process of being made, but I do have the MySpace. It's www.myspace/starbornsupport. And on my friends there, you'll find my main page, and we're also Starborn Support Night Watch Unit. We've branched out with Night Watch Todd Sheets, so I do have that page as well. Mm-hmm. And I also have StarbornSupport.com. If you Google Starborn Support, I mean, you can find all kinds of stuff, you know, different interviews, possibly articles I've done. You know, it's just, if you just type in Starborn Support, I think you can find what you're looking for.
Very
and
cool.
More.
Okay.
Very thank cool. you.
Well, thank
you're
you
welcome.
Very, thank you very, very much for coming on with us and hanging out here at Midwest Paratalk Radio. We'd love to have you back on when, you know, some stuff later on in the year and get you back in, because I love talking UFOs.
Anytime, definitely. Yeah. Just let me know, and thanks for having me. It was great.
Cool, very cool.
Thanks for being able to be here, Audrey. Appreciate it.
No problem. And everybody have a good night and a great week, okay?
Great.
You too.
John,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Audrey from Starborn Support here with Midwest Paratalk Radio this week. And,
what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a question. I couldn't even get it in.
What do you mean you couldn't get it in?
Well, because I was going to, then you guys had questions, so I decided to wait my turn.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Let's call her back.
Wait, one more question.
Hey, Audrey, just
I forgot
one
what
more
this other thing.
Right.
Yeah, it kind of was more of a paranormal type question, so it can wait, I guess.
All right, what do you got? I'll answer it for.
Huh?
I'll answer it for. Give it to me.
No, you can't answer this.
What do you mean I can't answer it?
You can't answer this.
Maybe I can. How do you know?
Because I just know. Because we can't figure it out.
Mike.
What?
Is she always this difficult, even growing up?
You've seen nothing yet.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. You didn't. I tell you.
I went.
Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, it's just too hard to explain, and I want to ask her. And
I can explain it to you. All you have to do is ask.
No, you can't.
Why do you think I can't?
Because...
Am I not paranormally smart enough for you?
No, that's... Oh, my God. Well, let's not get personal, shall we? No, it's just very, very odd and strange, and I really... when people hear this, they're going to go, what in the world is she talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather wait till Audrey was on, so maybe she'll understand what I'm talking about. Okay?
Oh, all right, fine.
God, all right.
Like twisting arms to get answers and questions around here.
Well, if any other question I'd ask you, but this was just weird. It's very strange.
Hmm.
It's experience. That's what it is.
Oh, just because I'm the newbie on the block. Now I don't have enough experience. Oh, my God.
No,
it's a
girl thing.
There you go. Thank you, Mike.
What?
You're welcome.
It's a girl thing.
I'm on my Benadryl high, if you can't tell.
Oh, my God, yeah, Benadryl high.
That's good. Benadryl high.
It's a core scene.
Yeah, that's the next step.
That's good stuff. It'll make you feel good.
I remember the, remember what, we were talking about this story not too long ago, about when I was a little kid, and I saw the three V-shaped things flying over the hill of Ryer House.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we were talking about that.
Yeah, and it's like, I can remember it like it was yesterday. So I don't think it was a dream. So it just freaks me out when she talks about all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
When
you have that little ghosty friend too.
Yeah.
When the wife and I were dating, she was leaving the house and we walked out to the car, and it was shortly after 9/11. And looked up into the sky, and there is a V-shaped something in the air, green lights. And I almost thought it was like a military formation that, you know, they were combing the skies just to make sure, you know, yada, yada, yada. But there was no deviation. There was no sound. And, I mean, they were extremely, extremely high. It was higher than what the F-16s would be able to go, okay? Or the Tomcats or the F-14s or whatever it is they were flying back then. And as soon as we saw it, I mean, just as quick, it was gone, you know,
well,
so.
Well, I can remember standing on my back porch, and they were strip mining across the road from our house.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a field and a great big gully and another field. And there's three triangular shaped, and they were bright silver. And they had little round windows. And I can remember, I could draw a picture of them. And they were like almost on the ground. And there were three of them, and they came and did a loop-de-loop and flew back the other direction.
Oh, really?
It was the craziest thing I ever saw.
Yeah, that's coming up out of Egypt Valley, too.
Yeah, you know, so I was like, and I remember yelling, my neighbor, Norman, was there with us, and I yelled for him to go get his dad, because my dad was a truck driver, and he was out on the road. And he's like, for what? And then he saw them. And, like, they purposely were there for us to see them as soon as we I'm like, go get your dad, for what, I don't know what reason, because, first of all, my mom's blind as a bat, so they could have been on top of her, and she wouldn't have known. And he took off and like was running up the road, and I was like, well, they're gone now, you know, so we just decided not to tell anybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's lake areas down there. I've read a lot where they said there are large bodies of water for some reason, because there's a lot of lakes in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Big state lakes, parks, yeah. Near Piedmont and Tappan and all that stuff. And I don't know. I know something followed me on 22, you know, where 800 joins 22, when I was working in Caddis. And I even had to stop in there and pick up Lori. She lived down there at that other little town. And it followed us clear to Caddis. I mean, it didn't follow us. It was like side by side with us.
Hmm.
And we stopped on top of this hill where this church was. And she's like, what is going on? I said, I don't know. I said, but I ran into that thing when I got on 22. And it stopped. And you couldn't hear anything.
Yeah.
It made no noise whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's it rode with us clear to Caddis, and the last time we saw it, we were going to have to go into the work before we worked, and it was hanging over the courthouse.
Right.
Hmm. So I don't know.
It's amazing.
Well, I told you about the paper route UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
No, I've seen those 2, 3, maybe 4 times the entire time.
That's what makes me think that they know what we're thinking.
Oh, yeah.
It's
possible. Like, well, they saw us, so let's kind of see what they're... That's what makes me think that.
Let's give them just enough rope to hang themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I saw these UFOs, and here comes the guys with the little white jackets.
Well, we went and worked and told them, this one guy, he was an orderly, he said, oh, God, good, they've come to get me.
Right.
We're like, well, then see ya.
Wow.
Ride that side.
They've got a nice little padded room just for you. All right, guys, we're going to start wrapping things up here on Midwest Prayer Talk Radio. We want to thank Visions Online Magazine, Haunted Times Magazine, and The White Crow for sponsoring ASPRN. And thank you guys for coming and hanging out with us. It was Audrey from Starborn Support, guest tonight on Midwest Prayer Talk Radio. Remember next week.
Yeah, and Audrey has a article in Visions Magazine.
Right.
Next issue coming out, so.
Yes, she does. So you guys, check it out, Visions Magazine Online. I hope I said that right. Hold on. I did say that. VisionsMagazineOnline.com. So you guys go check that out. Read about Audrey and Starborn Support and all of the great articles that they'll have out there for you guys. And let's see. Next week, 8 p.m. Thursday night for the Paranormal Powerhouse, starting with the Bewitching Hour, Moonlighting Radio, and Midwest Paratalk Radio. and not to mention all the great shows that will be happening here throughout the week. So you guys come back, check with us. If you ain't got nothing going on, if you ain't got, oh, wow. If you don't have anything going on.
Yeah, and next week we've got Brandon Alves, by the way.
Yes. Brandon Alves, a great friend of the show. He's going to be sending over some EVPs and probably hopefully some more of his score music.
Mm-hmm.
And I can play some more of that out there on the radio for him as well. But, yeah, it's going to be a great week. And like I said, you guys, check out all the great shows. You can go to www.asprn.com. Check out all of the show listings. You can also go at the very top of the page. There is a schedule. And Mike Baker, I know, is going to be working on that, updating it as well. And for all those show hosts that are going out to the Crump Theater this weekend, we'll be there and kind of hang out and hope I get to see everybody. And it's going to be a great time. It's $10 admission, and it goes from 10 in the morning to 10 at night. So you guys come check it out. And that being said, that's all I got. What about you guys?
That's all I got.
Yep. Sounds good to me.
All right, well, go and like get the plunger and put it on one nostril and vacuum cleaner. I don't know.
Shot back.
Right, that'll work.
Oh my God.
You guys are ate up. That's all I gotta say. So, all right, you guys, you take care. Remember, next week, check back with Midwest Paratalk Radio. Brandon Alves will be joining us. It's going to be a great show. See you later, guys.
Bye.
Bye. This has been another edition of Midwest Paratalk Radio, brought to you by the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Midwest Paratalk Radio is a ParaQuest production. Remember to catch us every Thursday night at 10 Eastern here on ASPRN.com.